Say it is well. It's well. All is well. You may not feel like it, but all is well. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to be reading from 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're not going to read it scripture for scripture because most of us know the story. But I'm going to hit some highlights because when everything is going good, when you're feeling good, when everything is in the right place, when there's money in the bank, food on the table, when your job is going well, when your relationships seem like they're perfect, it's easy to say, all is well.
Amen.
All is well. It's good. I ain't worried about a thing because there's nothing to worry about. But what happens when everything does not go well? What happens when you feel that ache in your side? What happens when you feel that ache in your back? What happens when you see a negative in your checking account? What happens when relationships that you thought would never bust up go opposite directions? Is it easy to say all is well?
Come on.
That's where we have to get to, because as sure as the tide goes out, guess what? It's going to come back in. Regardless of circumstance, we have to learn to be content and to have our faith and trust in God and have the ability to say, all is well. Amen? The very core of our faith is tested in times where we don't know how it's going to play out. If we knew the whole story, we wouldn't have to depend on God. We wouldn't even need God. But we want to see the big picture. There's been times that I said, God, just show me some more of this bigger picture. Because, see, then it'll make me feel better. Then it'll make me feel comfortable. And then I realized, Becky, where's your faith? Faith is the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't always know how it's going to unfold. You don't always see the big picture. We tremble in fear of the what-ifs. Can anybody identify with that? We tremble to our core at the what-ifs. And at times we begin to believe and accept what we think is the inevitable. We tend to believe and accept what we believe. It's going to turn out this way. I just know it. I just feel it. My demise is sure. My fate is no longer resting in the hands of God. The devil is triumphing. Has anyone ever said that? The devil is winning over me. You may have felt that way. Is it true? Is it true?
No.
Because it sounds like some of us already have a defeated state of mind. You've got to remember, let me just remind you who you are. You are a child of the Most High God. You are already victorious in your walk. From the moment you get up in the morning and take that breath, you are more blessed than those that have a journey to the pits of hell. It doesn't matter what happens or how you feel at the moment. You are victorious. You are a child of God. And there is nothing that the enemy can do to you to prevent you from where you're headed. Amen?
Amen.
After time passes, we begin to feel like our dreams are just that, dreams, and never meant for reality. Is anybody in here ever thought it just wasn't meant to be? My dream was just that. It was a dream. It was something that I wanted, but it's just not in the cards for me.
Yeah.
It's just not the will of God. I know many times I still hold on to dreams that I even question as time goes on. God, is it ever going to happen? Is it just not your will? How come I don't see a change? How come I don't see this already?
Yeah.
In 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman, it says she was a great woman, which meant she was wealthy. She was knowledgeable. She was a godly woman. And the reason we know, besides the scriptures telling us that, is that she provided. She sacrificed her home for the prophet of God. And that tells me that she believed in the work he was doing. it tells me, I know it's an inconvenience to put myself and my home out of the way, but I see something greater in this prophet. I see something greater that he's doing that far exceeds my inconvenience. See, Elisha was coming through, and he knew, I can stop at the Shunammite woman's house, because back then they didn't have the Holiday Inns. They didn't have Motel 6. They didn't have some of these other motels for prophets to stay at. It was at the sacrifice and convenience of people who were willing to open their homes up. And she said, I will be glad. I perceive this is a prophet. I perceive. Because see, when you perceive that somebody is a prophet, you're not looking at them on the outside. You're identifying with what's on the inside. She recognized that anointing. And she even went as far to say, husband, let's make a room for him. I'm tired of putting him up on the couch. I'm tired of pulling out the pillows and the blankets. Let's prepare a room for the prophet. Let's prepare something for him. Now, when Elisha and his servant Gehazi came through, Elisha told Gehazi, he said, what can I do for her? Because see, even as men and women of God, we must be very careful to always be thankful, to be appreciative, because we don't know that how we're treating people are angels unaware, are just people that God has put in your path to bless you. And how you treat them is how you treat God.
That's right. Yep.
He said, there's got to be something I can do. Go send for her. And Gehazi came with the Shunammite woman, and she said, I'm here. And they said, what can we do for you? There's got to be some way we can repay you. She said, I'm good. She didn't ask for anything in return. How many times have we stumbled up on people who always have their hand out? They're quick to receive, but when you ask for something in return, nope, I'm sorry, this bank's closed. I don't have anything. I don't have any time. But when I need you, I'll call you.
Yeah.
Anybody have any relationships like that? Out of convenience? They are quick to call you when they need you, but when they don't need nothing, you hear crickets. And Elisha asked Gehazi, he said, there's got to be something we can do for her. There's got to be something. And he told his servant, he said, go see. Now, if that's not preparing a servant for growth, because Elisha could have easily, being a prophet, could have easily went to her, could have easily prayed and said, God, what can I do for her? What is her heart's desire? But it didn't say that. It said that he sent his servant, which was preparing Gehazi. Although, we read this morning, his greed got the best of him with his leprosy and the whiteness of his skin. But Elisha was trying his best to teach him something. And he told Elisha, he said, she doesn't have a child. Because back then, Jews, all the houses had children, a lineage.
Yeah.
She was a great godly woman, wealthy woman, and her husband was old. And Elisha said, bring her to me. And he said, about this time next year, you're going to have that seed. And what was her reaction? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. She said, Prophet, don't deceive me. Which lets me know that the desire of her heart had been watered down. Because as time passes, we begin to believe the inevitable is coming. We begin to believe that dreams are just dreams. And she had already been through disappointment. She had already been through such devastation that it started looking like, I'm not ever going to get my child. I'm not ever going to get the desire of my heart. Little did she know that because she may have forgotten her dream, God didn't. Because she refused to stop working for God. Because she refused to stop sacrificing for God. Because she refused to say, it may not be my dream, may not be God's dream, it may not be His will, but I'm not going to stop providing for the prophet. I'm still going to help him any way I can get the word out, because above all else, that is what is important.
Yes. Amen.
When she least expected it, she said, Prophet, don't you deceive me. Don't get my hopes up again. I had just gotten over that. I had just put it all away. Why are you wanting to start up something now? Why are you wanting to get my hopes up now? I've done buried that dream. I've done put it away. I've done put it out of my mind. I've accepted the fact that maybe what I want is not in God's plan. Anybody ever thought that? God, what I want, my dreams don't fit in your plan. It's not in the cards. It's not in your bigger picture of things. And so we tend to push it to the back burner. And we try and try and try to forget about it. Until God brings it back up. And she says, I don't want to be disappointed anymore. If it's not true, don't even speak it. If it's not true, don't tell me that I'm going to have a seed. I didn't ask you for this. She was content where she was. She had such disappointment in her heart. She didn't want to get her hopes up about something she had already painfully dismissed. Has anyone ever painfully dismissed something that you thought you'd never have? We all have. Here comes the child. The very promise that she dismissed because it didn't come when she thought it was. Her husband was old. She thought it wasn't part of God's plan. And here she has a child. Now, by scripture, it says that the child went out to the fields, the laborers to his dad. We know by scripture that he was old enough to walk, but he wasn't old enough to work in the fields. So he was somewhere in between. And he said, oh, this migraine, I got a headache the size of Texas. I can't bear it anymore. And the dad said, tells the servant, go send him to his mother. And what did he do? He kept working. If you notice, I thought that was ironic. The dad kept working. And the mother sat there with a baby, not a baby, toddler, young child, in her lap. Until about noontime when he died. Have you ever had your dreams and promises right there in your face? Maybe right there in your lap and they died. Or at least it appeared that life slipped from them. I can imagine as a mother holding her child. I'm just going to be honest. I would have been angry with God about that. Because this woman who was content in where she was, putting back the dream that she thought was lost and gone, all to have it taken away and ripped from her hands yet again. Now, with the lifeless child in her arms, she could have went to her husband and said, "He's dead. Call your servants together. We're going to have a funeral. We're going to bury this thing. And I'm going to go back to living the way that I was, content with my everyday life." But the Bible says she didn't do that. She could have taken the boy and laid him on her bed. She could have taken the boy and laid him on his bed. But it says that she laid him on the bed of the prophet. She laid him on the bed of the prophet. She didn't bury him, because sometimes when we see that things are not going the way that they should go in the time that it should happen, we prematurely bury the things that look to be dead. Amen?
Amen.
We prematurely bury things because from our physical eyes, there's no life left. There's nothing else I can do. But this Shunammite woman, great faith that she had, she went and laid her boy, her promise, her dream, back to where it all started. The sacrifice she made. She said within herself, I can just picture it now, "God, your prophet told me this. I didn't ask for this. But it was all back when I decided I'm going to go above and beyond for God. That I'm going to build a room for the prophet. I'm going to take my boy and I'm going to go back to where my promise was.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back and I'm going to lay my promise on the promise I gave you. I'm going to take my boy and put him at your feet. I'm going to take my promise and I'm going to lay it on the bed of the prophet. Because it wasn't until I decided to go above and beyond for you that you went above and beyond for me." What I'm trying to tell you, church, is don't dismiss what the devil meant for harm. Don't dismiss and just take it for granted that something that God gave you suddenly died. I mean, look around. If we were that way, we would say, "Well, there's hardly anybody here. Let's close up the doors." No. God did not put us here. God did not give us, and I say give, because it was given. Let's make that abundantly clear. It was given to us. This, it may look like the life is coming out of it. Oh, but what we see spiritually happening in this place, God is getting ready to do some things above and beyond our comprehension. Don't you bury your promise prematurely. Don't you settle for what the devil is whispering in your ear, saying, "Well, your promise is dead now. Where is your God now? Why would he go through and give you something just to get your hopes up, just to rip it out of your hands?"
Come on, amen. Amen.
She told her husband, she said, "You get me a servant and you get me a donkey." And he said, "Wow, what are you doing?" She said, "I'm going to see the prophet." And he said, "But it's not new moon. It's not Sabbath," which tells me they were faithful in going to church. They were faithful in going to see the prophet, because it's not Sabbath. We see him on the Sabbath day. We see him on new moon. What need of you have the prophet? She said, "It's well." What great faith for a woman or a man to have when your promise looks to be dead and you don't speak a word to anybody, but all is well.
Yeah.
All is well. It is well.
Amen.
Because see, when she came to the servant, he was getting the donkey ready. They were getting ready for the journey. And she said, "You go straight to that prophet. Don't you stop for anybody unless I tell you to." Because see, it's so easy. We get so consumed by the tragedies that happen in our lives that we sometimes we expect, sometimes we don't expect. But I can imagine the godly, faithful woman that this woman was. She knew, if I speak anything negative, it's going to give life to it. I am not going to give life to anything negative except the promise of God.
Yeah.
I'm going directly to the prophet, and I'm going to ask him. Because see, back then, these were days before Jesus, before the veil was torn, and we could just come into the throne room boldly. You had to go to a prophet. You had to go to a priest to reach God. What I'm trying to tell you is, she didn't go to Facebook. She didn't go to her best friend. She didn't go to her husband. She didn't go to the town and say, "Look what this prophet did. He promised me something, and now this promise is dead." No, she didn't do that. Where did she go? She went to God.
Yes. Amen.
The promise, the dream that she had died right there in her lap. And yet, she said, "I'm going to take this boy, my promise, my dream. I'm going to lay it on the bed of the prophet, and I'm going to go see him." She said, "Don't stop." She told the servant, "Don't stop for anybody." Because she did not want to give life to the negativity that her ears would hear. Many times when things, just as he said, "I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell even my wife. For a year I've been feeling this way, that I had fear." Because when you speak it out, guess what? The devil gets a hold of it. He enlarges it. He takes that seed. He waters it. He tills it until that's all you think about. He will get into the hearts and minds of others around you and say, "You know what? It just wasn't meant to be. You wanted something so bad and you got it, and then it was taken right from you. You know that prophet, we should stone him. How dare he do that to you? How dare he promise you something when you didn't even ask for it? Why would he do that?" You see how the devil works? Yes, he works that way. Because when you get in relationship troubles, when you get in financial difficulty, and you start saying, "I'm broke. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know. I don't understand what's going on." Word travels fast, especially bad news.
Yeah.
She refused to do that. She said, "I'm not doing that. I'm going straight to God." How we can learn from this Shunammite woman: don't go to people. Amen. Go to God with your problems. Amen. Even when you don't understand it, Amen. Go to God.
Amen.
Because see, the Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue.
Yeah.
Somebody roll that thing out. Ugly. It can cause death just as it can life. Be careful what you speak. Be careful what you put into the atmosphere. Even if you're feeling like your own death threshold, say, "I speak life. I will live and not die. And even if I do die, guess what? It's for God. For God I live, for God I die."
Yes.
So here comes this servant with a Shunammite woman, and the prophet Elisha, he looks and he tells Gehazi, "Isn't that the Shunammite woman coming? Go run to her. Ask her, is it well with her? Is it well with the child? Is it well with her husband? Is everything okay?" He runs to her. She says, "All is well." Because in her mind, "You're not the person I'm after. I'm not even talking to you. I'm going straight to the source." How we can learn to go straight to the source. What answers we would get by going straight to the source. She comes to Elisha. And And she tells him. Well, first he tells her, he says, something's wrong with her, and God has hid it from me. Now, you can imagine Elisha being a prophet. God showed him almost everything except this. Many times God will hide stuff from us to protect us,
Amen.
To teach us something, to increase our faith. And she tells Elisha, she said, my boy is dead. You know the one that you promised me? The one I didn't ask for? He's dead. He died right in my lap. And Elisha tells Gehazi, take my staff. You go to the boy. You lay my staff on him. And he tells the woman, go with him. And here's what I find if the Shunammite woman was right in front of me, I'd give her a high five. You go, girl. She says, as the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Isn't it funny? Those were the exact same words that Elisha told Elijah when he said, what do you want from me? And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit.
Yeah.
And he says, if you will watch me, and if you go with me, and you see me when I die, you shall have it. He held on to that promise. And he knew that by those words, Elijah tried to tell him, you stay here and I'll go here. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Now his words are coming back to him. And he knew he identified something with her. She's not playing. She is holding on to something, the very same thing that I was holding on to. I wanted that double portion. I wanted that mantle of Elijah. Now she's bringing my words back to me. So I know she means business. She's not going to leave me. I'm going to have to go with her.
Yes.
Her faith kept reminding her that the promise God had given her was not over yet. Because why would she make the journey? Why would she not bury her son? Because she had so much faith and trust in God that she said, God, you're not done with this yet. The enemy may like to trick me and make me think that God did this to me. But God, I have more faith in you than I have in the lies of the enemy. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what people say. That's why I'm not going to verbally say anything, because I don't want to have to deal with people's negativity and opinions. But God, when you say you're going to bless me, I'm holding on to that word. I believe you at all costs, and I'm taking it to the bank that what you said you would give life to, if going to do it again.
Amen.
Sometimes we're too quick to bury our promises prematurely. I said that before. Because they look dead, they appear to have no life in them. There's some people that appears to be dead, although they're walking. They're just waiting for their number to be called. Nope. Still alive. Maybe more. They suck the life out of themselves. They suck the life out of everybody around them. And they suck the life out of the promises of God. It's so easy to get entrapped and entangled in that. But when we come to ourselves, somebody said, I'm going to come to myself this year. Maybe we need to resurrect some people in here. Because I think that was weak. I, for one, speak that 2020 for me is going to be a year of life. I speak life into everything that looked to be dead. I speak life into the things that others said would never happen. I speak life into the anointing that others say you don't have. Guess what? When the enemy says you don't have something or that you can't have something, look out, because God is preparing it bigger and better than ever. He's going to overtake you. He's going to leave it right there. But But you got to decide, who are you going to listen to? Are you fully going to trust in God, or are you going to trust the word on the street? You may be all by yourself. Everybody's running a different way, and you're running the opposite. God, at all costs, I choose to believe you. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the enemy is saying. I don't care that other people are getting their shovels ready. They're wanting to start burying something. I'm not at that point yet. Because God, I know until my dying breath, I am going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. Even when it feels like the devil has wrapped himself around me, he's choking the life out of me, I choose even then to trust God.
Yes. Amen.
Elisha went back to where it all began. He saw the boy on his bed. It said he shut the door. The mama wasn't even in there. Because see, sometimes mamas can't control the situation. Mamas can't do what God can do for their kids. Sometimes you have to, God, I'll wipe my hands clean of this. I'm dusting the dust off my feet. God, it's yours now. You tell me what you're going to do. And Elisha locked himself in his room, and it said he started praying. The prophet was praying. The boy lay dead on his bed. And it said Elisha stretched his hands out and he covered him. Miracles happen when you cover your what looks to be dead with God. When it looks like all hope is lost, cover it in the word of God. Yes. Cover it in yes. prayer. Yes. Cover it yes. in the things that will matter.
Amen.
Not gossip, Amen. Not your Amen. Opinion, not things that other people say, but when you cover it with the word of God.
Amen.
Because see, God was still working on Elisha, because he asked, I want a double portion. I want a double portion of your anointing. And in the Bible, I was reading that Elijah had 16 major miracles performed before he died. Elisha had 32 while he was living, and even an additional one after he died. Because if you go over to 2 Kings chapter 13, it talks about Elisha died. They wrapped him up. They threw him in the tomb. And then another man died. And a band of spies was coming. They got scared. They wrapped him up and threw him in the tomb of Elisha. And all of a sudden, the anointing. Somebody say the anointing. The anointing. Oh, I felt something. The anointing. When the anointing that was on the bones of Elisha, when that man hit the bones of Elisha, life jerked back into him. He got up out of that tomb. He came forth with new life.
Yes.
And that was the 33rd miracle. See, don't tell me that God doesn't go above and beyond. Elisha asked for a double portion, which should have been 32 miracles. But just because God is God and who he says he is, he said, I got one more miracle that you're going to perform that you're not even going to be around to see. Everybody thought you were dead. But the anointing that was in you is still alive.
Amen.
He covered this boy eye to eye, mouth to mouth. He was covering him with the anointing. And it said the child started waxing warm. Slowly and surely there was some life. And he got up. Elisha got up. The boy, still no response. He was getting warmer. Isn't it ironic how we give up too soon?
Yeah.
Life is starting to come back to our promise, and we give up because we don't automatically see change.
Yeah.
I, for one, know for a fact that the enemy would love for me to give up right now. He would love for me to give up right in the very moment.
Come
Before I get my promise, before I see life breathe back into my promise.
Yeah.
He would love for you to have blinders on and to think, God has failed me. I've lost it. The thing that I was promised, it's dead. The devil is a lie.
Yes.
Only when God says it's dead is it really dead. I remember when my aunt passed away, and you see, flatline. In my mind, I was saying, God, it ain't over with yet. If you raised Lazarus from the dead, if you raised all these people from the dead, it wouldn't surprise me if you don't raise her from the dead. It's not over until you say it's over with.
Amen.
Why do we bury our promises so prematurely? Why do we not have that Shunammite woman's faith to say it is well? It may not look well, but it's well because it's well in here. I know who holds this situation, and it's not man. It's not the devil. It is God himself.
Amen.
Yeah. Elisha knew he's getting warmer. I got to do it again. The Bible says to pray continually. Continually. One time is not always going to get it. We have to pray continually and bombard heaven.
Amen.
And when we bombard heaven, all God is waiting. He's saying, I've already got the answer. It's in my hand. I'm just waiting to see. How long are you going to ask me for it? Are you going to give up so easily? Are you going to ask me one time and say, well, I didn't get it, so it must not be God's will. He's doing this. But when he hears the prayers and cries of his children, day after day, God resurrect this thing. God breathe life into this thing. It is well with my soul. All is well. I'm not giving up, God. Today is day 100. Today's year 52. I'm still praying like it was the first day that you gave me that promise. I am not giving up on what you said I could have. You know what that does? That releases the hand of God. Because he sees us, he hears us, and he knows this is a great person of faith.
Yes.
She has endured until the end. She refused to hear and believe the lies of the enemy. When Elisha laid the second time, it said that the boy sneezed seven times. Seven is God's perfect number. It means completion. When you sneeze, you say God bless you because the heart stops just for a split second. God bless you. He sneezed seven times and he got up. Elisha sent for his mother. She came in, grabbed the boy, and took off running. When you get home, read it. It'll tell you what she did. She didn't do that, though. Many times when we pray and pray and pray and ask God for something and he finally delivers, thank you, God, is far from our mind. We seek the blessing more than the blesser. We forget who gave it to us. But it said she fell down at the feet of the prophet and gave thanks. Before she even grabbed her son. What great faith is that of a mother? Because deep down, I think she already knew. He's coming back to life. It ain't over with. This story has not ended. I'm going to hold my peace. I'm not going to give anybody any ammunition to kill my joy. Because they will. You start telling somebody, I'm having a bad day at work. They'll have you fired the next day.
Amen.
Word on the street is, she's fired. She messed up. They've moved on without her. Isn't it funny how one little thing can grow so big? And after the 10th or 12th person hears it, is something completely different. The Shunammite woman knew that. And she said, I refuse to listen. I refuse to be denied. Your promise may look dead. It may appear to be lifeless and non-existent. But the God you serve, hear me when I say this, church, the God you serve, the God you worship here today, can make the non-existent existent. He can breathe life into what looks lifeless. He can resurrect the things that others said would never happen, that were dead. But all you got to decide is, all is well. All is well. I don't care what it looks like. All is well. And when you decide to take your problems to God, you show the enemy who you're listening to. Because the God that you serve, if you truly knew the power that he gave on that cross. Because Jesus told his disciples, greater works shall ye do. Greater works. As they're playing something behind me, I want you to just get into your mind. Whatever it is that you've lost hope. That you thought, God, it's not mine to have. God, my family members will always be this way. They will never turn around because too much time has passed. I'll never have a relationship, a spouse, because too much time has passed. I'll never have the desires of my heart because too much time has passed. God says, my time is not your time. Age is just a number. But when he gets ready to release what's in his hand, nothing, nobody, no enemy can stop it. That's why he's God and we're not. That's why the enemy comes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that includes your promises. He's seeking what promises he can devour and chew up and annihilate. When God said, I didn't change anything about my word. Your promises and your dreams, they are important to you. They're important to me. We're going to pray. Those in here who thought it was too late, thought that God forgot, thought that it wasn't in God's plan. That thing that your mind goes back to often, that the devil sometimes uses against you. I want you to think about that. And I want you to begin to say, all is well. Because we're going to pray that God breathes life above the talk of death, above the lies of the enemy, that he breathes life into your dreams, into your promises. Because he gave Joseph a dream and it didn't happen overnight. But he held on to it. It strengthened him. It encouraged him when everybody else turned their backs against him and the situation grew worse. He held on to that dream. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you just for being who you are. God, I thank you for being Lord over our lives. God, I thank you that it's not over with until you say it's over with. God, I thank you that your timing is perfect. Your love is perfect, and it casts out all fear. God, I ask that you blow your spiritual breath of life into the promises and dreams of the people here today and the people that's listening by the internet. Nothing is too hard for you. All we have to do is believe. God, I ask that in 2020, you start breathing life into things that people thought were non-existent. God, bring about the dreams according to your will. And Lord, when we see them, let us have the discernment and the wisdom to know that the enemy is going to try. He is going to knock. He is going to try to see who he can pull back down, who he can put scales over their eyes to make it look like something different, to pull all hope away. Because God, your word says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And God, there have been things that we have hoped for years. But God, we know it's not over until you say it's over with. Give us the strength to say all is well and let us keep serving you. All is well and we're going to keep trusting you. We're going to keep doing the things that we know to do. And God, when it's your time to bless us, when it is your time, God will be very careful to fall at your feet just as the Son of Might woman did and give you all praise and all glory, because that's where the blessing came from. Man did not give it to us, but all blessings come from you. God, we thank you right now and we ask that you forgive us of all of our sins. Forgive us of all unrighteousness, all wrongdoing. God created us a clean heart that is right before you. We humble ourselves today, God, knowing that you hear us. The enemy would like to say God doesn't hear you, but oh yes, you do. You hear every word, you hear every cry, and you see every teardrop that we've ever cried. And God, there's coming a day for your people that the teardrops will be turned into joy. You're going to return unto us and reward us for not giving up. That will of keeping on. Keep doing what you're doing. God, it's not in vain. But God, we first know that your hand is not short. Neither is your ear far away. But we have to do everything we know to do that is right in this book. And God, it first starts with knowing you, having a relationship with you. Not just a phone call when I need something, but God, a daily walk with you. Because when we have a daily walk with you and a relationship with you, God, number one, it saves us from the pits of hell. But God, it also gives us a peace and a joy to know where our lives live. And that is in the palm of your hands. And if there is anyone that is unsure, you may say, life has not dealt me a good hand. Life has been unfair to me. And I've made it this far without God. And what has it gotten me? When your life is covered, just as Elisha covered that boy, you will see that it'll wax warm and then it'll come back to life. True life comes through knowing Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody here today that says, I don't know. I come to church every Sunday. I sing. I read scriptures. I read my Bible. But I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't know exactly what it means make today that day of a surety. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I've tried to do it myself, and I keep hitting brick walls. But God, I'm placing my life in your hand today. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you as Lord and Savior of my life, and I'm confessing with my mouth. And that way, when I do that, I know I am saved. If there's anybody here that says, I just don't know. I'm a good person. Being a good person is not going to get you into heaven. Just by saying, I come to church, I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't do this, I don't do that. There's only one way into heaven. One way. If there's anybody here who says, I want to make sure, slip up your hand.